שלום לכל הצופים שלנו.
Hello to all the viewers. Welcome back to the show Kabbalah for Students. Today we have a very fascinating topic, the topic of concealment and revelation. And what we're going to see today is the true reality which is concealed from us. Why is it concealed? What does its revelation depend on? All that today and more. So let's start. With us today is Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. When I heard about the topic, I didn't know what to start from. It's such a broad, interesting topic. It attracts many people, everyone actually, because we're in a certain reality, and it's clear to us that something is concealed. We don't know where the thoughts, desires come from. We don't know what we do, how it disappears in nature, and how it reappears. Even our world is concealed from us. We have many actions and deeds. Therefore we're concealed here as well. There are people who don't understand as much, and over time we discovered even more. But it turns out that we are less and less acquainted with our world. That's one thing. Another thing is that if we talk about the spiritual world, which is concealed, we think that there is a soul for a person, that a person who has disappeared, then his soul passes on to a different dimension. What is this other dimension? It exists after this, behind the space or the stars, or is it on a different dimension than in the same place where we are, if you can say place, but that it's in a different frequency that we don't even recognize, and there are a lot of souls here and worlds and spirits, angels, who knows what other people think about. And most certainly these things, well, they're always concealed, and they were always attractive towards people to know what's happening, where are we now, in comparison to the concealed world, and what's happened to us after we get rid of this revealed world. Then what happens to us? Do we enter a concealed world? Also after we're born, also after we end this life. And we've also studied it in the article Guf and Nefesh, of the writings of Baal HaSulam, that all the religions and faiths, that they talk about the concealed world, that it's out there somewhere existing. And when you finish this life, you want to delve into it, and that's religions of different sorts. The wisdom of Kabbalah tells about these things, that they're a lie and that they're mistaken and that there's nothing real and true about it. But the Kabbalists say that all we have is concealment and revelation. Concealment is now. Revelation is how to reach this. How were you given a method for this? The wisdom of Kabbalah. The method for revelation, and when will you reveal it? And your life here doesn't limit you, and you can reach revelation of the spiritual world. Our forefathers reached it, the prophets, the sages of all different generations. There were many thousands of them, and also the nation of Israel, that they were detached from Babylon for 3,000 years, when Abraham organized the group from the Babylonians and took them to the land of Canaan. Then they attained the concealed world, and it turned into the revealed world. And thus they were in this revelation until the destruction of the temple 2,000 years ago. So, for about 1,500 years, people lived in these two worlds together, also in this world, that they felt it through these five bodily senses, and also through the five senses of the soul, which they are called Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zeran, Pin, and Malchut. That's what the five senses of the soul are called. And they discovered the upper world, the spiritual world, in a revealed way, as we discover this world, and even much more. And sometimes there were periods of that weren't revealed, that were more revealed. The periods of time that weren't as revealed were in the period of the first and second revelation temple. Times where there was concealment was exile in Egypt, in Babylon, before the construction of the first temple, and between the first and second temple. But still they were from coming out of Babylon, and until after the second destruction of the temple, they were in revelation to the upper world. And therefore, for that we have the book Raziel, the angel, and the book that was written by Abraham, the book of Yetzirah. Then there was the Torah that Moshe wrote, the Nevi'im that they wrote, the prophets, until Rabbi Shimon wrote the book of Zohar, also the Talmud, also the Mishnah. And all of these books, of course, are holy, since they were written from the sensation of the upper world. And they tell us about the structure of the upper world, and no other book tells us about it. None of these books talk about this world. They were all written in order for us, by these books, we'll be able to reach revelation of the upper world. But if we read these books and want to reach the same qualities, that in addition to our five senses, hearing, seeing, and so on, if we want to reach five other senses, Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zeran, Pin, and Malchut, then we can develop the five senses within us, but in a revealed manner. But we can do it by reading these sources correctly, especially the book of Zohar, which is full of force in order to develop the additional senses to reveal the upper world. And if we read it correctly in the group by the correct guidance, then these writings influence us, and we begin to feel that we come closer and closer to something that is concealed, that although it's still concealed, but already it begins to be closer. But to some extent, we begin to sense it, to feel it. Just like out of this fog, out of the darkness, it comes and is closer, this spiritual world. And therefore, in such a way, we can advance, and the Creator wants us to do so. He didn't create us revelation in the first place, but He wants us to discover it out of the concealment, that by it we'll be able to understand how it was done, who did it, and how we'll reach it, that we open it for ourselves, of how to open up the spiritual world, how to sense it, and how by that we grow and become like that upper force, and how that has arranged the concealment for us, and that out of it we'll reach revelation and understand everything. So revelation and concealment are things which are relative, that also in our world are here and now, that there are people who are in revelation and there are those that of course are in concealment. And we are now in a special generation that we feel in it a need to reach revelation, because also our lives, everything we feel in the human society in us, it doesn't satisfy us anymore, and therefore we also feel the need. More and more people come closer, and they discover that they must reveal the upper one, the creator, the sublime life. And not that it will be after we die. Our body is a beastly body, it lives. And when it lives, nothing happens with it, with that very same concealed world. The concealed world, it is revealed only if we develop a senses for it, we begin to feel it. And specifically in these senses we have to realize it. And here we see how there's a big difference between the wisdom of Kabbalah to all the different religions and faiths, that they all say, wait until you die, meaning your body, and then you'll begin to feel something else, and you'll reach heaven, or God forbid, hell. And the wisdom of Kabbalah says there isn't, nothing happens when your body dies. But a person, if he wants to discover truly what he deserves, the entire upper world, this great world, this sublime and good and eternal and perfect, then he needs to do it here and now in this world. As it says, you shall see the world in your life, and it should be revealed, and live in these two worlds. Well, and you have many quotes that you've prepared, so maybe we'll go according to these quotes.
Well, so let's go on to the sixth verse, which gives us a very general picture about revelation and concealment. This is from the introduction to Tess of Baal Sulam. When we closely examine the attainment of providence that people come to sense, meaning in this world, yes, that we feel and we can come to feel, so what comes? We find four kinds, in a way, that there are four discernments in the attainment of providence here. In fact, there are only two: concealment of face and revelation of the face. But they are divided into four. There are two discernments in providence of concealment of the face, which are single concealment and concealment within concealment, and two discernments in the providence of revelation of the face, providence of reward and punishment, and eternal providence. Yeah, I just drew that here. So, we are here in this world, and here, yes, we don't ask. Meaning in this world that we are here, over the course of our entire history, we never asked ourselves, revelation, concealment, not really nothing. Now we're in a state where we're beginning to ask, why are we alive? What's the point of life? There's a concealed world. Are we living in a concealed world? We want to come to know the purpose of life, the source of life, this compass to the life. We're in this point where we have this force which is pushing us to exit this world. You know, there's a bit of necessary to ask questions. What's happening with me, you know? And in asking these questions, I reach this big question. Who am I? What am I? Why am I alive? What's the point of my life? And this is the sensation of the concealment. But this sensation, yes, I don't know though why or where am I. And you see people, they ultimately reach to despair, drugs, terror, all sorts of things. And they're all the result of this big lack, this emptiness, this abyss they discover themselves. On one hand, they don't see what purpose to live with their life. On the other hand, like, what's for it? They see no end to it. Everything in life is all these just mutations. If a person continues with it onwards, he then already begins to discover this concealment is not just concealment. Rather, in this concealment there is a need, such that, meaning from this question, one begins to ascend to a degree where he feels that the world, the concealed world, it does exist. He begins to feel, well, He doesn't feel it because it's concealed still, but he begins already to depict it in these actions, this activation, this operation, which is with respect to him and actually with respect to the whole world. And this preparation for the revelation is called simple concealment or first concealment. Later on, when he reaches this point, sometimes, yes, he still returns to double concealment and once again ascends back up to single concealment. He makes these scrutinies more and more, again and again. Yes, here he is in a group study of Kabbalah. I'll write even study of Zohar. And he follows along this method, how is written in the wisdom of Kabbalah, to reveal, what does it say? To reveal the Creator to the creature in this world. Bala Salam writes this in the article, The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. And then he reaches a state out of great engagement in the group, in the study. Yes, in this that he drew upon himself a lot of light from above. This is called surrounding light, which is the light that reforms. It is then revealed to him the spiritual world. He reaches revelation. He begins to join to all his five corporeal senses, his bodily senses, yes? Five bodily senses is equal to this world. So in addition, he acquires here five spiritual senses. He then begins to discover in them the spiritual world. But this revelation is still very gradual. There are many degrees here, sub-degrees. Nothing is opened immediately. But it's like in our world. You know, you see how a child grows in this world. He has all these stages. And then he rises onwards, as we're saying here, to the next stage, which absolutely he receives a very, very nice ascent to that final degree called double revelation. This is eternality, truly. This is how he says there. Even in the tests, he says eternality and wholeness, perfection. We must all of us reach this. Everyone in this world, everyone down here in this world, ultimately, must go through all these degrees and reach eternality and wholeness of his own, which is called really to return to the root of his soul. Yes? I have a question about that explanation you just gave. I lack some dimension here, something rational. Rational? Well, I think this is very logical. Just as you feel this reality now through your senses, you develop these additional senses which are in you from the beginning, but they're rather concealed within you. But through work in the group, or the light operating upon you, you draw this force upon you which develops these additional senses in you. And to the extent that they open up in you, you begin to feel the world, that baby that is born. Yes, he doesn't see, he doesn't hear, he has barely any senses. He immediately, yes, he does have the sense of touch, but not even taste so much. Sight and hearing, you see that barely at all. But over time, yes, after a few days, he begins to hear, then later on he begins to see. Slowly. This is how we are too. We have to develop our senses by our exertion. Okay, but when we look at our world, meaning we grasp our world in five senses. We have the modern science, which, you know, it always opens up another portion of reality, but it's always, of course, within the restriction of our five senses. Here we're talking about something concealed from man. Look, because you don't have the senses for it. Okay, but if we can maybe expand this a bit to understand, one, what is truly concealed here? Two, why is it concealed from me? Is it in me, this thing that's concealing it, or is it part of reality? And also the concealment itself, meaning the reality I see before me is incorrect, it's false, it's a lie, or is it there is just another part of the reality I haven't revealed? Look, what you see is real. That is reality. While you and your five present corporeal senses, you feel only this reality, and thus you can't just go ahead and state, it seems to me, or it's not real. But after you go on and you attain the spiritual reality, then you have the ability to see this reality in a relative manner. You see it from the side. And then you can say, well, this is real, this is not real, it's correct, it's incorrect, because you have two points, two perspectives in which you can compare one to the other. But in the meantime, where we live only in this reality, the present one, the rule is, a judge has not but what his eyes see. And so we must rely on this reality 100%. This is why we have science, the science of our five senses, which we have used, discovered more of reality with. And when we go on, we develop these five spiritual senses. You see, the Kabbalists, through them, have revealed, and all of us, of course, will come to reveal. So if all the wisdoms in the world, as we say, are discovered by unique people, scientists as we call them, and people all seem to use them to some relative manner. Yes, you have appliances at home, and higher, of course, but there's not one in the world about the spiritual senses who won't have to. Every person in the world will have to develop them 100%. Will have to come to use it 100%. There is no other way, because otherwise he will feel suffering. He will feel a great pressure, these forces obligating him to develop this. And so we must come to study wisdom of Kabbalah for some, some exaggerated manner. But this is in order to develop ourselves, to realize our potential of our soul, to reach eternality and wholeness. That's why this science, this wisdom, is something natural. It's not something difficult like math, things which people generally don't even want to think about it usually. Here we're talking about a science where you're learning about your soul, how to open it up and how to fill it. So I'm trying to understand to you, so what is concealed from me? When I begin to feel the sensation, what do I reveal that's concealed from me? Forces. There's no more than two forces. The force of reception and force of bestowal. This whole reality is built upon those combination of two forces, reception and bestowal. That's what you reveal. Look, we have the names of the worlds. We say the first world in which we reveal is Asiya. The second one, in which we discover, the world of Yetzirah. The third one is Bria. And the fourth one is Atzilut. And its final one is En Sof. From here, we have these degrees of attainment. Well, I'm going to be a bit stubborn here. There was once a movie called The Matrix. You remember? People lived in this reality where they thought it was real, and then it turns out that anyone who woke up from it saw that they lived in a computer program, and then discovered there's a whole big real world outside of this. Is there such a depiction you can give to a person as a metaphor to what we discover when we come out of this concealment to the spiritual reality? You feel forces that operate upon you, that activate you and the others, this network of forces is called Malchut, or Shechina, divinity, because it is full of the upper light which dwells there. Shechina is from the word Shochen, dwelling. when you begin to discover these forces, this network of forces, which is filled with the light, it fills you and brings you the sensation of attainment, wisdom, fulfillment, which really answers all your questions, all the emptiness inside you. You have no desire, no question, in which you remain with in empty. This life that you currently feel in its current flow and its stream, you suddenly feel it eternal. You leave this control of the body. You stop feeling it as every moment that you do, or with every heartbeat you feel you're missing another moment of your life. You feel this combination of two forces, reception and bestowal, they connect together. They complete one another. The connection between these two opposing forces brings an outburst of happiness, an attainment that a person enjoys from. It just opens up for him from one end of the world to the other. Nature. We're not talking about the corporeal nature. We're talking about the whole of nature. You can't express these things. But rather, with respect to this world, a person discovers some interesting things. He begins to discover that this world suddenly looks entirely different than it did before. If beforehand it seems to him that this world is full of troubles, suffering, problems, people eating one another, everyone seems to have this very lowly existence, very downridden, himself included, he suddenly discovers, no, you know, the world is actually quite beautiful. Everyone is corrected. Everyone is so full of love towards one another and connection. It's all very interesting. This transformation, this change that occurs to a person in accordance with his qualities, he then begins to see that really this whole world is a copy of himself. Everything that I see, everything that I experience is this clone of my internal qualities. The more they are corrected, I see the world to be more corrected. The more I am corrupted, the more I see the world corrupted. This is what determines my ability to justify each and every one. I begin to see this world, it's not this world, it belongs to spirituality as well. And then a person understands that everyone is in concealment. And he has emerged out to revelation. Meaning the concealment of revelation is not in this that he has revealed the spiritual world. The revelation is called the revelation because he's now revealed the true picture with respect to this world. Meaning that everything that was here, that he thought, yes, this is real. This, look, this is a tree, this is metal, these are people, these are stars. Look, it's so solid. And then he suddenly begins to see all these things are just, it's like a movie, a film, just projected out in the air. And there's nothing to it. Even this movie becomes different each time according to his qualities. The people he sees, suddenly he understands these are not people. These are the internal organs of his soul. To the extent that he changes them, then they change. And the extent that these internal things occur in him, in his soul, then these people move. They're alive. Out of what? Yes, again, out of this that he himself is always in these scrutinies, in these changes of states. The world is not a world. The world is simply the exemplification. It's the example, the picture, the projection of what's happening within him. And there's nothing else to it. Now you could tell me, look, yes, you think this way, fine, but what about me? That's how you think, yes? And this is why we can't understand each other. How can it be that there are two people next to each other, and what, everything I see is all dependent upon me, and everything you see is all dependent upon you? Yeah? Here we come to this point where physics have some contact with you. Yes, they see in physical, in a quantum physics, they see that there's this phenomenon where two particles can be in two points at the same time. In the Kabbalah, and we tell you a person is actually divided into 7 billion such copies of himself. And each copy of himself also operates in this independent manner. And after that, they all combine back together. It's really very difficult to express. What am I trying to say here, though? Look, these things are very real. Kabbalists write to us about this. Generation after generation, there's a lot of material written about it. Although, it seems to us very odd. And yet, look at the things Einstein wrote, or other physicists. They're quite odd too, especially in their times, or how they're depicting the axis of time. They can go backwards and forwards, or disappearing this way, that way. We see that reality is very relative, and so let's try to understand that. Look, these things are definitely possible. These sages are very wise people. They're writing to us. Everything they write, everything they're writing about that may pertain to this world, we'll see that it does occur the most precise manner. There is no real foundation for doubt. But they tell you, don't rely on us. You don't have to work with what we write to you. You have to just take our advice to come to open your eyes as well. Discover it for yourself. Discover this concealed reality here and now, all of us. Wow, there's just a quote from Bala Sulam that I want to read, which just described word for word from what you just explained, out of his article, Revelation and Concealment of the Face of the Creator. This is quotes number one and number two, so let's read them one after the other. One concealment or depiction means his face is not revealed, meaning that is, the Creator does not behave towards a person according to his name, the good who does good. Rather, it is to the contrary. One is afflicted by him or suffers from poor income, and many people wish to collect their debts from him and make his life better. His whole day is filled with troubles and worries, or one suffers from poor health and disrespect from people. Every plan he begins, he fails to complete, and he is constantly frustrated. Second quote. But once he has completely discovered the spice, the light that one inhales into one's body, through strengthening and faith in the Creator, one becomes worthy of guidance with his face, with his revealed face. This means that the Creator behaves with him as is fitting to his name, the good who does good. Thus, in the depiction, he receives abundant good and great peace from the Creator and is always satisfied. This is because one obtains one's livelihood with ease and to the fullest, never experiencing trouble or pressure, knows no illness, is highly respected by people, effortlessly completes any plan that comes to his mind, and succeeds wherever he turns. Actually, though, a very crucial piece is missing here, something very spicy. Out of that same article, if you remember, Bala Sulam there explains to us, a person who is in concealment, so it seems to him, look, I say, these people, yes, these guys are sick. And these guys, I look at them, they're so crude. so, what are this? These guys are liars. These guys are cruel. These guys are hoodlums. What is more and more? And again, this is truly as a fact that it seems to him. It doesn't just seem to. It seems to me this guy is bad. Then maybe I see that he's good. But you know, truly. And the revelation of concealment, a person comes in revelation to see that that person who was poor, he sees him as rich. A person who is foolish becomes smart. And we can't understand this because, what, this is a fact. You can't take something from our world and somehow just dissolve these things. If the guy is sick, he's sick. He feels this way. Everyone sees it. It's obvious. Him and others, everyone understands it. Or even the poor guy, what, that's not clear to everyone? And somehow changing my perception of reality, I reach revelation, I suddenly see that ill guy is being healthy, and that poor guy, I suddenly see him as rich? How is it possible that by changing of my perception of reality, through opening my eyes, where I begin to see these things, and suddenly somehow that person changes? Aren't these facts what I see? Or maybe it just seems to me? There are such... Maybe it was even better I didn't bring this up, actually. I think it's confusing people. But look, on the other hand, it's good. It's good that a person hears these things, and these things gradually begin to somehow sit in a person. You know, your perception of reality changes to such an extent that you begin to see that these people, as how you saw them in your eyes, and even in their eyes, this suddenly changes. We have nothing else to do in our life but to reveal this new perception of reality, the upper world. And then we'll see how our world, without you changing a thing there, truly becomes a perfect world. Yeah. Why concealment and revelation is expressed in a person, I don't know, social life, salary, income, health. What's all this? Well, it's all about the light. The light that reforms, the light that fills the vessels, the light that awakens the vessels. Everything is done by the light, yes? So distance from it causes us bad, and our closeness to it gives us good. The more I become closer to revelation of the Creator, revelation of the light, the more I am similar to it. That's how I come closer to it, yeah? It's like a magnetic field or an electrical field. The more I am similar, I come closer. The more I am different, then I'm actually getting distanced. This is how I'm in motion in this very great field of the light of infinity. Thus, in the extent that I change myself with respect to the light, I come closer to good. I see everything as good because I come closer and it changes me. And yeah, so I see the world as wonderful. And if I was going the opposite direction, I would see the opposite. He explains here, though, that he sees, like, he suddenly sees the creatures being better, the health. Yes, as we said, like things which seems as facts. But wait, the goal is to reveal the Creator, so why are you writing about this? Look, it's not that our goal is to see this world in some pretty manner, but when I come closer to the Creator, I see the creatures correctly, meaning that they are perfect, they are whole, because I come to a state where I have the same qualities like the Creator, and so I see the world like Him, and thus I justify Him. And according to that attainment, I am called righteous, because I justify the Creator. Boris from New York, Boris Kaufman from New York, asks, what type of desires are directed against the ascent to the upper world? That's a good question. We have many qualities which we think that we must do something with them. And Kabbalists tell us do not engage in anything other than connection. Other than that, you can be a liar, you can be very crude, and what else? Come on, give me a list. Shoot, a stingy here, thief, lazy, saver, a spender, saver. Okay, fine. In short, anything you can think of, anything you have, none of that is called evil inclination. That's very interesting. All these things they tell you, leave them alone, don't deal with them. The only thing you have to care for is your connection with the others. That's it. Look at this. When we ascend to this degree of revelation of face, we reach a state called delighting in mercy, or don't do to your friend which is hated upon you, hated by you. And this is according to Hillel, the Kabbalist Hillel. Don't do unto others what is hated by you. Meaning my attitude to the others is at least so that I don't want to harm them. I don't want to hurt them. This is a great degree, you understand? I have a lot of desires and urges, you know? And here you're given an opportunity over here to do anything. You know, the world's yours, do what you want. You can come to a point where you control everyone. They're nothing. And you don't want a thing, just, you know, not to harm them. On top of all possibilities, your entire ego. This is called coming to that first degree of revelation. Afterwards, there is the next degree. That other than this, that you don't want to touch them and leave them as they are, you know, God forbid, you don't want to harm them or take from them, and then you come to love. This is from Rabbi Akiva, the degree of love. Love thy neighbor as thyself, meaning as much as you're capable, as much as you can, and at this degree you can everything, the entire spiritual world, you give everything to them. So all the mitzvot, all these corrections that we do, here we correct ramach, here we correct shasa. In sum total we have 613 taryag, and they're all in relation with the others. And this is all we have to correct. This is all we have to pay attention to. And nothing else but this. Everything else that will change, whatever manner, who cares? I'm not the host of this. This is how the Creator created me. And the upper light will come and correct us. It will correct everything else. Only thing I have to worry for is this point. The lack of connection, hate, repulsion to others. To turn that into connection, love. Truly to be as one man and one heart. Moshe from Mexico asks, continuing, he says, my connection with the others is expressed corporally. Do I have to behave to people in a moral manner? No, not at all. I don't have to relate to anyone in any specific manner. I relate to the whole world as is traditional, you know? I'm a good citizen, you know, as we say. Not that I now want to go out, bestow to everyone, care about the ecology, or care about the relations between people, or giving to poor. We see that none of these things cause any good in the world. The only good in this world is if you draw the light that reforms. We see how the world changes according to our correction. This is to this extent the world will change, nothing else. Thus the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us, stop confusing yourself, stop trying to correct the world. The Creator is stronger, He will corrupt it faster and more than you can succeed in correcting it. Care for the only thing which you must do, which is the connection between us, connection between people. What is this place where a person can harm or not harm the others? What is this place, this thing you said, he can harm or not harm with his attitude to others? that is very simple. It's your attitude to the others. It's either cause connection or not. What we must do, yes, is to correct ourselves in connection with others, in correction of my qualities with others, to bestow what they intend to bestow and to receive what they intend to bestow, meaning to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah. And what is the wisdom of Kabbalah? The method of correction between men. When we connect together, then in that extent, we begin to discover the upper force, the Creator. Yeah. Well, we have here quotes about the reason for the concealment out of the introduction to tests, letter 100. This is quote number 10. Bala Salam writes there, Zohar tells us that we should not even consider that the Creator wishes to remain in providence of concealed face from his creations. Rather, it is like a person who deliberately hides himself so his friend will seek and find him. Similarly, when the Creator believes in concealment of face with his creations, it is only because he wants the creatures to seek the disclosure of his face and find him. In other words, there would be no way or inlet for people to attain the light of the King's countenance had he not first behaved with them in a concealment of face. Thus the whole concealment is but a preparation for the disclosure of the face. Yes, meaning we have to understand this really in our perspective. We live today in a world which is very threatening from the side of humans, from the side of nature, the ecology. Even inside, we all feel great despair, emptiness. We don't know what to do onwards. All we must understand is that only this correction, if we'll succeed in it, if we will go with it, we will succeed. And this revelation of the Creator towards us, in greater revelation, He will only activate upon us greater and greater forces, internally and externally, such that people will feel a true lack of that state of, as he says here, health and prosperity and the social problems, the global problems. We will not be able to continue living and surely not developing. We see already we're not developing. We're already, look, we've quite stopped in all our development. Maybe 20-something, maybe a little bit more. Years already. We will simply enter problem after problem, more and more from year to year. Already we see ourselves delved in problems. Governments are trying to hide all these problems now. They have no other choice. They have no solution. And Kabbalah says, yes, look, we are now in the final phase. And we must correct ourselves. All the problems that we feel now, private and general, it's the Creator who's activating this pressure upon us, because He doesn't want to remain in concealment, and He must obligate us to reveal Him. And to reveal Him, in order for us to reveal Him, He must activate these forces upon us to force us to move. All the problems that we feel, they're calls. It's an invitation that we can finally begin to understand what we must come to do, and not spread out in all sorts of actions and directions which we may think they can somehow cause us good. There's only one way we can cause good to ourselves, and that's to reveal the Creator. The light, as it is said, He who comes brings peace upon. He who causes peace in the heavens will bring the peace upon us. We have quote number 13 from the Rabash. The desire of the Creator is to bestow, and when the lower ones in their actions of bestowal do His desire in equivalence of form, then the Creator can give them revelation of the face, and He brings off from them that restriction and concealment. And when they don't do as His desire, they don't make the effort to bestow, there is no equivalence of form, and the Creator must be concealed. There's a question here then. How do we reveal him? Maybe I'll ask this way. What is the practical steps we can do now? We all want to. It's quite simple, actually, Rav says. Kabbalists tell us, look, we are all in one body. Within this one body, we are all components of, we are all parts of that body. And we must come to the connection between us. If, as parts, we will desire to connect between us, then everything that we shall desire, our desire to connect, will discover this Creator here between us, filling this void, this emptiness, just like this. We'll discover that we are in Him. He encompasses us, He surrounds us, He fills everything around us. He's like glue which fills everything, and we're in Him. But we must discover this. We're also, we're in Him now. He fills us all now. But where? We don't feel this. How can we come to this? If we'll desire to connect. In our desire to connect, we will discover that we don't want, we're not capable of it. And then we invite Him. We discover that in His revelation, He conceals us. This is called, He causes the peace in the heavens, He brings the peace upon us. He causes the wholeness, He completes those connections between us, connects us. Because we ourselves are quite opposite to us, to each other, totally, in everything. The light, which begins to connect between us, He takes all these opposite things and matches them. And this is how we discover the perfection and wholeness. We then are then present in one body called Malchut of En Sof, Malchut of Infinity. What is that again? Malchut is called that the Creator is the King, and we are in His Malchut, His kingdom, His force, and of En Sof, of infinity, means that this state is infinite, it's boundless, above all time, space, above all limitations. It's above life and death. We come, as it says in Torah, freedom from the angel of death. It's just an infinite stream. We have to reach this now. Each and every one of us in our times today already has this opportunity. Doesn't matter his age, doesn't matter who he is or what he does. If he wants to, he can now come to a state where he will reach eternality. And then he's free from the sensation of sickness, harm, problems, poverty, and surely, of course, death. It's all dependent upon us. A guest from Tel Aviv is asking a lot of questions. The last one, currently in the lesson, all the viewers, if we'll desire, if we'll demand above the desire to feel who sends all this to us, we'll demand the light, will something huge be revealed? I can't promise that will happen in one shot, but without a doubt, by such actions, where people, if they will desire it together, they will definitely come closer to a realization. There's no doubt that it happens this way. You have more. I saw a nice passage here that you guys chose. Well, I'm not sure what you meant, but out of the writings of Bala Sulam, there's really a nice quote about what people would be willing to give if they would be able to see that perfect state you discovered. This is quote number 11. And it's written, the Creator surrounds everything and fills everything. Meaning in the time of the attainment, there is a sensation of fullness which is revealed and sits upon all opposites. And the uniqueness, the pleasantness is such that all that seems to him at the time of the wholeness which versus the past suffering, they have some value and taste of pleasantness in the uniqueness of the Creator. And all the, his organs and limbs would are witness to this, in which he, each and every one of the world would be cutting off their hands and legs 7 times a day in order to feel a moment in their whole life from this taste of this sensation. Yes, there's no doubt the great lights that fill our vessels are these pleasures. We don't have these vessels, these spiritual vessels. They're billions of times greater than what we have now. They're huge desires and calculations, the ability to perceive, grasp, understand, and feel. It's limitless. And when you feel this entire ability to feel and understand is filled by the light, by the Creator, yes, that fills these desires and these thoughts, a person feels such pleasure that in our world we have nothing that we can imagine as in comparison. As he says also, even the smallest spiritual degree that we must ascend to, and yes, we have 125 degrees, it is already billions of times greater than all the pleasures that all of humanity has felt throughout its history. Because in our world, what our reality is all sustained, that it exists out of some small spark which burst forth and created this whole reality in our life here. And so that first degree of that existence on the upper degrees, in the spiritual degree, is already in the light. And so, as you see, it's worthwhile to make the effort to escape the troubles of this world and reach the eternal pleasures of the upper world, to understand what it means to bring content to the Creator. Rav, we have 1 minute. Last question. What happens when all these 7 billion people all come to the final revelation of the Creator? I can't tell you about that. It's something that hasn't happened yet, so I can't answer. It's also, there's nothing written about it. It is said that if there's another unique existence afterwards, another stage, because all we're doing now is simply correcting our soul. After this, we come to some dimensions which are even higher than the spiritual worlds, which we've spoken about now. So let's reach that first. We have quite a path, yes, but the whole way is wonderful. Let's succeed. With these days and our program today, thank you to our audience for being with us.